Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Alrighty, hour number two. What's happening? Tiki and Tierney. This is the Tiki and Tierney Show. From Lower Manhattan, broadcast across the country, of course, but coming to you from our Rocket Mortgage studio. When you need cash out of your home, but a simple way to get it, Rocket can. Hopefully you had an awesome weekend, just indulged in the football, and had a great time. Hopefully your team came out victorious. If not, hopefully there was a flicker of optimism that you can maybe pull away from the loss to get you motivated for hopefully a better result coming up in week two, both collegiately and the NFL. Collegiately, we'll get to the big Oregon win, the big Iowa win over the week, and those were the two real marquee games.
The big Virginia win.
The big Virginia win. UVA, you guys had a little the Illini, right?
Crushed them.
Beat them by 20-something.
Yeah,
I saw that. Yeah,
Brennan Armstrong threw for 300-something yards. Mm. Actually, I think he might have thrown for 400 yards. He was great.
Did he go for four? Is he a freshman or is he like a transfer?
No.
He's like a senior guy.
I don't think he's a transfer.
Start over again.
He's been around for a
minute. Yeah, he's been around. I got you. But and two losses that were pretty confounding with Texas and USC. So we'll squeeze in all the college football coming up next segment. Teak, right now, you played in New York with our next guest. Same time. I always had a lot of respect for Chad Pennington. He was a winner, an eight-lean winner, a really smart guy. He was a Rhodes Scholar at Marshall back in the day, you know, son of a coach. And he was a former first-round pick back in 2000. Of course, he wound up going to the Dolphins a little bit as well. Got them to the playoffs. So let's talk quarterback shop with Chad Pennington. Chad, Tiki, and Tierney, how you doing, bud?
I'm doing great. How you fellas doing?
We're doing awesome, man. And, you know, I introduced you as a Rhodes Scholar because I think it's really interesting. So you were, for those who might not recall, the Jets had four first-round picks off the Keyshawn Johnson trade back in 2000, right? And you were one of the four selections, right? And you had a chance, Chad, despite having this great mental capacity and aptitude as a smart guy. You sat for the first 2 years. I think you only threw 20 or 25 passes combined. When you look at these young guys, whether it's Zach Wilson now, whether it's Lawrence, eventually Fields getting more and Trey Lance as well, and, of course, Mac Jones, are you surprised how quickly these young quarterbacks are thrown out there nowadays?
I'm not surprised at all. I think that the lack of patience is certainly something that we see in the NFL. But then also, I think it is really determined by the organization and where they are at that specific time. You know, for Patrick Mahomes, they had the luxury of having Alex Smith there. When Green Bay went through it with Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre, they had the luxury. For me, I had Vinny Testaverde. And so sometimes these teams aren't afforded the luxury of having a great veteran there that can hold the fort down while the young guy's learning. And so what's happening now is that we're forcing the younger quarterbacks to play earlier. Now, they are coming into the league, I think, a little bit more prepared because they're open to some more resources that are available to them as they're growing up. But at the same time, it's still a process. A rookie is still a rookie.
Yeah.
It's just the way that it is.
Yeah, you just haven't seen enough despite what they think they can teach them in the short time that they have them before the regular season starts for these rookies. You know, Chad, do you think that, you know, the offenses as they've evolved, and I know you've seen this where some of these teams do RPOs, you know what I mean? And they're zone reading with Lamar Jackson. They're making the college offense more, I think, accessible or friendly in the NFL. You think that's helping them play earlier and have some success, as we've seen? Some of these guys, like Kyler Murray, he was Rookie of the Year. He looked fantastic as a rookie.
Well, it certainly can. It certainly helps their transition, I would say, because I remember coming into the league and people would tell me that you can't throw the bubble screen in the NFL. And now look at how many bubble screens we throw now. So the game has evolved. I think these offenses they've had to adapt to some of these things because the defensive players are so good and so athletic. You've got to really put them you know, in conflict and make them hesitate to have a chance. And so some of the things that have been prominent in our college game are now working in the pro game. At the end of the day, though, a quarterback has to be able to stay in the pocket in the pro game and deliver the football with accuracy and timing. That will never go away regardless of what we add to the scheme.
Yeah, no. Now, with that being said, we have a big game tonight, the Ravens and the Raiders on ESPN and Monday Night Football. And Lamar Jackson, who's already got an MVP, he's pushed his team a step closer into the postseason every single year. We don't know if he's mastered that yet. If he doesn't, can he ultimately be a Super Bowl-winning quarterback?
He can be a Super Bowl winning quarterback with the right team, right? It's all about the players around the quarterback that can create that success. For him as an individual quarterback to be ultimately one of the greatest to ever play this game, especially with the skill set that he has, he certainly has to continue to work on his passing ability, being able to dissect defenses, make reads, make tough throws. There's no doubt he can make tough throws on the run. He can create a lot of problems with his feet. But as we've seen, as players progress and they get more tape upon you, you've got to make sure that you protect yourself running the football. That's why running backs, it's tough on them, right, taking that beating week in and week out. And so that's something that he's got to continue to work on while he's using his legs as a younger player. As he gets older, he's certainly got to start to rely on his arm more and more.
Mm-hmm. So we're talking to Chad Pennington, former first-round pick back in 2000. Played 11 years in the NFL, battled back from some serious shoulder injuries, and one of the good guys in the game, smart guy. By the way, two-time completion percentage leader. Now, when you retired, Chad, I think you were number one. You're just falling down the list like a ton of bricks, man. It's like they're forgetting about you.
Man, with all these bubble screens and stuff, these completion percentages.
Yeah, you're not joking, man.
Now, you know?
It's true. So,
you're not joking.
He's not. It's definitely a different game. Let me ask you this. So the Sam Darnold that we saw with the Jets, and we could waste everybody's time and talk about the lack of weapons, the O-line, the lack of innovation with coaching. He was not put in a good position to succeed. But the Sam Darnold that you saw yesterday, I know when you have McCaffrey, life's a lot easier, but did you notice somebody processing things quicker? Did he look better? Did he look different to you?
No question. I saw a decisive quarterback. I saw a confident quarterback. I saw a quarterback who made plays with his arm and made plays with his leg. It was just a quarterback that was just different. And the reason that it's different is that it's been a process. He's been in the league 3 years. He's understanding how this goes and works. And so really important that we still remain patient with our quarterbacks, right? And that's something that is kind of a lost art. We think these guys, listen, you can't dump a billion-dollar organization on a 21- and 22-year-old. You just can't. And even Tom Brady, that wasn't dumped in his lap that early. He wasn't asked to win every game early. He was asked only to do his small part. And then once he started to mature as a quarterback, he could then start to take on more of the responsibility to try and go win the game.
Yeah.
And that's what I think you saw yesterday in Sam, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, especially in New York, Chad, you know that better than anybody. You know, if you were given that responsibility when you were 21, all right, Chad, go out there, do this. This is New York. There's no pressure. The 75,000 fans in the stadium.
80,000 in the old stadium.
True. And 6 million that are opining about this in a social media world. Yeah, don't worry about them at all. Just go out there and play. And by the way, your O-line sucks. Let's talk about Zach Wilson. You know, Zach now has come into the league. He experienced some adversity in that first half of that game. I was calling the game, so we saw it. But in the second half, there was like a flipping of the switch, I think both for him and for Mike LaFleur, who is also a rookie as an offensive coordinator and a first time calling plays. And he was down on the sideline, so he couldn't even see it, you know, from the high view. You know, what did you make of Zach Wilson's first start as the Jets' new starting quarterback?
Well, you saw a rookie quarterback, and that's what you see from your rookies. You see some spurts of greatness and potential, the reason why you drafted the kid, and then you see a rookie quarterback going through the bumps and bruises of learning how to be a professional quarterback. Even on the scramble for the touchdown, you can see he actually misses the post in the pocket. Well, that's just part of the learning process to understand the reads, the timing of the reads, when the football is delivered. It's just different. That's just the way that it is. But you can certainly see with Zach that he has the ability to be a franchise quarterback. He has the ability to make throws when his feet aren't set and to be able to move around and extend plays and to be accurate and push the ball down the field. That's why the Jets drafted him, Now the key is to build around Zach and make sure that he has the people around him to be successful and can help him carry the load until he's ready. He's not going to be ready right now to carry the entire load, but he can still be successful and help you win football games. There's just a time and place for that, and right now is not the time nor the place.
I want to ask you something about Baker, but I'm going to put you on the spot here, Chad. So if you owned a team, right, put both of these quarterbacks in the microwave and, you know, open the door in 5, 6, 7 years, would you rather have Zach Wilson or Sam Darnold?
Oh, goodness. I think they are pretty similar. I really do. I think they're similar players. I think they have great arm talent. They can move around in the pocket. And so I think that's still a toss-up right now. I think that's, you know, we got to wait to see what happens with Sam's development in Carolina as well as Zach's development in New York. Both organizations got to make sure they do the right things because I think they're both talented. We've got some really talented young quarterbacks. But at the same time, that doesn't mean their situations are going to be handled correctly.
Yeah, that's true. And then you look at somebody like Baker, who has an offensive line. He's got, you know, one of the top 5, 6 running backs in football. He's got another running back that's one of the top 15 or so in Kareem Hunt. He's got weapons all over the place, innovative coaching. He's set up to succeed. My question about Baker Mayfield, and I know he's going to win them a lot of games. They might win the division. Hell, they could get to the Super Bowl and win it this year. I love their team, their defense, everything about them. But Tiki dropped the stat, and he's magnificent with play action. I think he was 8 for 8 in play action yesterday. Chad, my only concern, and I'm pro Baker, but my only question about Baker is when the opponent knows that he has to throw, and it's fourth quarter, and there's no play action, you're throwing. Is he good enough to win a Super Bowl that way?
He does have the arm talent. I noticed that at the Senior Bowl as well as the Combine. I don't think people realize what a great passer he is. He can really pass the football. He has great arc and pace on the ball. He can throw three-dimensionally, not just two-dimensionally into windows, but he can get the ball up and down into pockets, which you have to do in the NFL. I think really the biggest challenge for him, knowing that he's always played with a chip on his shoulder, he was a two-time walk-on to both universities. You know, he's got to understand himself and know when to take those risks and when not to. A lot of times playing quarterback in the NFL, it's not the decision that you do make. It's the one that you don't make that keeps your team from losing the game rather than going and trying to win the game. And so I think that is probably the biggest challenge for him, is making sure that he makes really, really good decisions. But as far as throwing, passing the football, he's phenomenal at passing the football for sure. In the pocket, play action, on the run. I think he does a really good job at all of it.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. Chad, you are the spokesperson for college football's Mayo Clinic Comeback Player of the Year Award. And I think I did remember this, but in your playing days, you were a two-time Comeback Player of the Year Award winner in the NFL. And so this year, COSIDA and the Mayo Clinic have recognized over 100 college football student athletes and donated $100,000 in scholarships. And Debo Samuel was one of these award winners, as was Antoine Winfield Jr. Tell us a little bit more about this Comeback Player of the Year Award. I think it's great. It's overcoming adversity. A lot of these kids are going to go through this, and it's easy to quit, but some of them, you know, really shine through and do great things.
It's definitely a neat initiative, and it's an honor to be a part of it. You know, the Mayo Clinic, for anybody that knows them and the research they do, they know that an answer can help one find their way. And that's why they're honoring these football student-athletes for their perseverance. And so every week we'll recognize three players from all levels of college football that are making comebacks, whether it be from injury, illness, or other challenges. And then at the end of the season, three Mayo Clinic Comeback Players of the Year will be honored at the Fiesta Bowl. And Mayo Clinic will actually donate $30,000 in scholarships on their behalf. And so last year we had Kenneth Horsey of Kentucky, Silas Kelly of Coastal Carolina, and Jared Broussard of Colorado. Kenneth has a great story. Came back from open heart surgery. I mean, can you imagine?
Wow, no.
What that's like. And so, you know, people can actually nominate a candidate and they can actually learn more about their Aspire stories at comeback-player.com. But it's just, you know, being a two-time comeback player myself and just knowing the energy and the support system you have to have around you to make these comebacks, it's certainly inspirational stories, and just really proud to partner with Mayo Clinic to get these stories out for sure.
Listen, man, I was not a, you know, I'm one of them. There's not a Jets fan that I know, and I had season tickets when you were playing, Chad, for a couple of years, that doesn't have great respect for you, man. Always, always, always rooting for you. One of the good guys in the game, doing great things, class act from minute one. Really good to have you on the show. It's been a while. Thank you, buddy.
Really appreciate you guys having me. Have a great day. Thank you, guys.
Take care, Chad.
There you go. Listen, you were in New York when he was here. Like, Chad didn't have a rocket.
No.
I mean, Chad, before Chad snapped the ball, Chad beat you with his brain.
That's right.
He was incredibly accurate.
He knew where he was going. I remember his release was, like, high. It was really high.
Yeah, it was
overhand, and he had that big, and it was always on the money.
Yeah.
I mean, what was his record completion percentage?
66.2%.
Career. For the career, but there was a season that he led it twice. I don't know what it was, but back then 66 was a big deal.
Correct.
Right? If you were 62 or 3, it's like, man, that guy completed 62%.
Yeah, absolutely right.
68 was his max, and you know, you knew the ball was going to be where it was supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
And if it was incomplete, it was usually because they were throwaways. Again, that's comeback dash player. Don't forget the dash. comeback-player.com if you want to nominate anyone from your college or university, because you guys know, or who are listening to us, know colleges, players just like we do. But someone could be at your college, had a devastating injury or illness or some other adversity that they came back from, and you want to nominate them, go to comeback-player.com.
There you go. All right, coming up next here, Teak, how about this? The Pac-12 flexes, and are we in the early stages of moving toward a playoff without the Buckeyes and without Clemson? A little college football. We're going to hit that coming up next. Teak and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend, or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe? Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
All right, Teaky and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. We're going to get to Inbounds, Out of Bounds coming up next segment. Coming up next hour, the Cardinals slice up the Titans. So there's two things to extrapolate from that. Just how good maybe the Cardinals are, but also I would be a little worried if I'm a Titans fan. I really would be. I said last week, and I said it. I didn't really circle back to it and underscore it. I think it was when you were out on Friday. Just let it dangle a little bit. And I said, you know, I want to see Ryan Tannehill without Arthur Smith. I want to see this.
Yeah. And without, you know,
didn't look that good.
A run game that's just dominant.
Yeah, for sure. Who, you know, he was run heavy, and he would put him in mm-hmm. very good spots. So, listen, you have Derrick Henry, you have Julio Jones, you have Brown, you have Tannehill, you have Vrabel. I'm not saying this by any stretch that,
yeah,
you know, it's a calamity here, but Titans looked so bad that I don't think that you could just say, well, they lost week one. They look bad, but we'll get to that coming up in hour two. Jalen Hurts, the exact opposite, looked terrific, and the Eagles, the only team with a win inside of what was the worst division of football the year ago. So the Eagles atop the NFC East. All right, T, college football.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Pac-12 had a great win going into Columbus. I mean, listen, even if they would have played, they were up in Oregon, and, you know, the Buckeyes make that journey, and the place as rabid as it would be, it would still be an incredible win, and it would still be, you know, a little dent in the armor of the Buckeyes, perceptually.
Yep.
But to go into Columbus where they never lose.
Yeah.
And kind of push them around again. Much like,
hey, look,
yeah,
look, college football is wonky this year. We had this conversation before the college football season started. A lot of it's because all the young new quarterbacks on some of these teams that are top end. I mean, truly, only Alabama we can count on to be consistently great.
Mm-hmm.
North Carolina lost. Washington.
I still think Georgia's going to be pretty good.
Yeah, probably. But Alabama, you can count on them every single year.
Nope,
you know what
no
I mean? Ohio State, they are perennially in the conversation for the college football playoff, really, yeah, since the beginning of the college football. Even before that, they always have good talent offensively, good wide receivers, and they still do have good wide receivers. In fact, it's not the offensive side of the ball that I'm worried about. C.J. Stroud, their young starting quarterback, he's a stud. I mean, how many yards did he do for, like, 400 yards, I think, in this game. And they got two really good wide receivers in Chris Olave and Garrett Wilson. And the skill positions are there. But for the first time in a really long time in Ohio State, Columbus, their defense is in trouble, dude. We watched that game against Minnesota. Remember, we talked about it mostly because of the kid, Mo Ibrahim,
mm-hmm,
who ran for 163 yards or whatever it was before he ruptured his Achilles. They got gashed on the ground against Minnesota. It's Minnesota. We like P.J. Fleck, but it's Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
They ran for 206 yards. Last weekend against Oregon, Oregon ran for 269 yards, BT. This is a Big Ten squad in Ohio State that prides itself on having big hogs in the trenches on both sides, being aggressive in the second levels, having super athletes in the secondary. They'll come down and pop you. And they looked lost against what Oregon was doing. And I was reading about how they had so much success, how Oregon had so much success.
Mm-hmm.
And you could see it as you were watching it, but you're – it was kind of confusing. It was like, what actually is happening here? Like, why are these holes so massive for Oregon? And it's because their offensive coordinator, his name is Joe Moorhead, has basically brought back the triple option. You remember the triple option?
Yeah.
Like from way back when?
In Nebraska?
Yes. He's brought it back, but there's a new twist on it. And so it's like cross-blocking.
Mm-hmm.
So the line blocks one way, and the tight end comes across the formation, like all the way across the formation.
Left to right or right to left.
Right to left, left to right. And he's supposed to block the edge guy. But he never blocks the edge guy. What he ends up doing, he bypasses the edge guy.
Gets the corner of the linebacker?
No. He bypasses the edge guy and goes into the flat. It's
okay.
The third option. And so now all of a sudden, this defensive end thinks he's getting blocked.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's getting ready to take on this blocker, and he gets passed up. And he's like, okay, now let me go attack the ball carrier.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the quarterback who's now sticking the ball into the belly of the running back. So he's like, all right, who do I take? Do I take the quarterback or do I take the running back? And so if he takes the running back, the quarterback keeps the ball. And if now the quarterback has the ball, he's out on the perimeter. Remember, the tight end's in the flat.
He's away from the play.
And now the guy who's covering the tight end now has a decision to make. Am I taking the quarterback or am I going to cover the guy I'm supposed to cover?
Uh-huh.
And so if he goes and covers the guy he's supposed to cover, the quarterback, Anthony Brown, who was transferred from BC, just goes and picks off 20 yards. If he takes the quarterback, he throws it to the tight end.
Mm-hmm.
It's an unstoppable option. It's unbelievable. It's just an RPO that we've seen for years in college sports, but you add that extra like component, that triple option, that third option to it.
Yeah.
They could not figure it out. They ran it at least six times in this game in critical situations. The 77-yard touchdown that C.J. Verdell had, it was the same play. Late in the game when they had to get a first down, it was that same play. And Ohio State just could not stop it. I mean, it was amazing when you watched
it. Well, I mean, the good news for Ohio State is that they're not going to see this again the rest of the year.
But
there's
nobody
in the Big Ten that's bringing this.
Might.
But even if Big Ten teams try to replicate this,
true,
they're not going to have the athletes. And schematically, it's not going to be quite as
Minnesota
on point.
Minnesota did a little bit too. So
no, that's true. Listen, the thing about the Minnesota game, and you have to incorporate this. I know they won. They go, was it 45-31? If you didn't watch the game,
yeah,
and we were texting that night.
Yeah, you were like, oh, yeah, that's a convincing victory. 45-31, you're right.
They crushed and the Buckeyes flexed. I remember Minnesota scored a touchdown a few minutes into the third quarter, take the lead.
Yes.
I mean, they were winning that game
the
third quarter after also leading at halftime.
That's right.
So the Buckeyes, I believe, scored the first touchdown in the third quarter after trailing at the half.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, Minnesota had the gumption to come back and then score again after the Buckeyes scored to start the third.
So it was 21-17 with 5 minutes to go in the third quarter.
So everything that the Buckeyes did up until the end when they pulled away, Minnesota had an answer for. So there was enough in that game to make you not worried, but all right, let's see what happens next. And then you get this, you get served the loss at home.
Yes.
In the horseshoe. So and maybe this is a situation based on their inability to stop the run. Maybe they're going to have to just outscore people.
That's exactly right.
And that's something Ryan Day touched on postgame. The offense, we're looking at the defense, which is a good place to look, is they can't stop the run. But what about the offense? Here's Ryan Day, coach of the Bucks.
You know, I thought at the end they got two good stops for us on offense, and then we didn't do anything with them. So, you know, the offense has got to do their part in this thing as well. And again, I don't think we established the run. And then when the defense did give the offense the ball back, we didn't do anything with it. And we had two opportunities that we didn't you know, score upon. So, you know, there's enough blame to go around here.
It's got a different scent to it this season, a little bit of a different aroma. UCLA is looking a little interesting out there, although USC losing to Stanford is one that kind of is a buzzkill.
Yeah, I agree.
Credit to Stanford, but Stanford's not vintage this year. You want to see USC flex in that game. But Pac-12 looks like they got a little pop, more than we thought.
You're right. But Ryan Day, to his point, C.J. Stroud, who is a young, I think he's a redshirt freshman. No, he's a true freshman quarterback, and he might be a COVID freshman. I can't remember how these guys work now. But C.J. Stroud threw for 485 yards and three touchdowns. But a lot of that yardage, I'm watching the game, it felt empty. It was like these big plays that would get down the field, and you know, ultimately they'd stall out, or you know, they change field position, and then you know, something would happen, and Oregon would make a play to get it right back. And so they are going to have to be aggressive in trying to outscore opponents because their defense is flawed right now, and so that puts some pressure on Ryan Day. We obviously remember how he took over. He took over for Urban Meyer. He was baked in with just talent all around him.
Yep.
It was almost, I don't want to say it was an easy transition, but for a guy taking over a head coaching job, usually it's something bad has happened when you take over a head coaching job, like either a scandal or performance has just been abysmal. He took over a team that was college football playoff ready.
Yes.
And so for the first time since he's been the head man, he's got a challenge, right? He's got to figure out how to get more out of these guys. And that's not always easy to do in college sports, especially in the college football playoff era, BT, because you lose a game and I don't think they're out of the college football playoff conversation. We'll have to see how they play. Not next week, because I think they're playing Toledo.
Tulsa,
but in a couple of weeks when...
Penn State's the next, but I've got this here. So they've got Tulsa, they've got Akron, they've got Rutgers, and Seattle's got Rutgers playing better, but they should win that game.
Yeah.
Then you got Maryland. You should win the next four games. Then you're at Indiana, and the Hoosiers don't look to be as good as we thought or hoped they would be. Even with Penix at quarterback, then the defense looks like the Hoosiers might take a little bit of a step back. So, first of all, if the Buckeyes don't rip off five straight wins, then you know something's really wrong.
Like almost them. Convincing. Like you have to put context in this. This is the same issue that... Unless Michigan turns out to be really good, which I don't know.
No, I mean,
this is the same issue.
That, them,
but, this is the same issue Clemson's going to face.
Yep.
Clemson's going to face an ACT schedule that's just not, doesn't feel tough, right?
It's like, and there's not the marquee chip persuade people.
Ohio State beats Tulsa by 30. Akron by 50.
Supposed to, next game.
Rutgers by 20.
Next game.
Maryland by 25.
Did your job, next game.
Indiana, who we thought was going to be good with Michael Penix and the sister. Penn State's the big challenge.
Yeah, they need Penn State to win out. They need Penn State to do very well. What's their schedule with Penn State?
Penn State's got a struggle. I know this because I'm doing the Penn State-Auburn game this weekend, so I'll be in Happy Valley.
Buckeyes got to be rooting hard for Penn State.
Absolutely. 22-ranked Auburn. Then they play, this is Penn State now.
Gotcha.
They play Villanova, Indiana, Iowa.
Oh, ooh.
So
that's a pathway.
That's right.
For the Buckeyes, I don't think Penn State's beating Iowa. Iowa's defense looks Iowa might be a top four team in the country.
Yeah.
And Iowa's tremendous, man. So the running back is good. The defense is terrific.
So if they beat, if Penn State beats Iowa on October 9th, Ohio State plays then Penn State on October 30th.
There's the pathway to maybe make some noise.
That's a way to make some noise because Penn State, if they went out to that point, then Penn State's going to be five.
I was going to say they'll be top five or six in the country for sure.
So at least Ohio State has a path to get back into the conversation for college football playoff. Clemson, they're going to beat a bunch of teams that they're supposed to
beat. And really, the ultimate point with the Buckeyes is that for the first time in years, their fate is not in their hands.
That's right.
I mean, they never sit home and hope that so-and-so beats so-and-so to give them a chance to elevate the standings if they happen to beat that team in 2 weeks. Like, that's not how the Buckeyes live through their Saturdays. They come out, they wax you.
Yep.
And then they make everybody say they're one of the three or four best teams in the country and they're a playoff team.
That's right.
It's a different path this year.
That's
and listen, this goes back to what you and I said a week before the start of the season. We said this is going to be, find it, it's there, the most volatile college football season. I mean, again, ridiculous, but certainly within recent memory.
Yeah.
And right now, it's subscribing to that thought that we had a couple weeks ago.
You're right. I got to give some love to my Cavaliers real quick. We beat William & Mary. We're supposed to. 43-0.
What's William & Mary's nickname, by the way? If you don't know it, then you don't get the win.
We're gonna
take away the win.
I should know this because my brother's, my niece is there.
You know the colors at least.
Yeah, they're like yellow and green.
Greenish yellow.
Yeah.
The tribe.
I knew that actually, but they beat Illinois, a big 10 squad over the weekend, 42-14.
You're not going to get excited about beating Illinois. I'm not trying to stomp on your alma mater. I love Virginia, but you're going to really waste America's time waxing poetic about your team beating Illinois?
There were years when Virginia would struggle with this game. I'm not kidding.
I got you.
They would struggle with this game. They were supposed to destroy Illinois.
Uh-huh.
They destroyed Illinois. And Brennan Armstrong threw for 405 yards and 5 touchdowns.
Who do they play next? They have a good game next?
What's the next real test is a big one.
By the way, you know I'm rooting for you guys.
They're playing North Carolina. North Carolina.
Oh, okay.
And Sam Howell looked bad in week one.
Yes, he did.
They won week two, but he looked bad in week one. Then 2 weeks after that, they play Miami. So,
Miami.
I'm just keeping my hopes up for my Cavaliers to put into a good season. BYU is on the schedule.
Okay.
And then
BYU looks pretty good so far.
Yep, then November 13th, they play Notre Dame.
The Irish did not look very good against Toledo. They very easily could have lost that game. They had to put Crone's finger back in place and he got the touchdown.
I mean, thank God.
That was a game. I mean, I lost that game. They were 17-point favorites. They very easily could have lost the game. And, you know, props to Toledo for banging them around a little bit. Notre Dame's not that good this year. First game, they didn't look great against Florida State. Florida State, see who they lost to? Jacksonville State. And now Notre Dame barely beat Toledo.
Yeah,
I mean, it's going to be a wacky season.
They dropped 4 spots. They won. They dropped 4 spots.
They should drop a lot more than that. I mean, they should. That tells you what's below it.
Yeah.
Isn't that impressive?
That's right.
Not least not yet. All right, Teak, let's get the update. Ack is on top of that. Inbounds, out of bounds after that. Ack right now. Here's Rich.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, Saturday at 3:30 Eastern, 12:30 Pacific. The SEC's back on CBS, features a big marquee matchup. It's in the swamp. Number one, Bama, taking on 13th rated the Gators. We get you set up for it with the kick starting at 2:30 Eastern, 11:30 a.m. Pacific. It's at the, with the Mercedes-Benz drive to Atlanta. Catch you up on all of the action from around college football on State Farm, college football today. It's all coming up Saturday, and it's all coming up on CBS. So we got Stu Getz. He's fired up for his Raiders tonight against the Ravens. We'll hit that a little bit later. Samter and I took our first loss on the chin. As Jets fans, Tiki was doing the Jets game. And shortly thereafter, his Giants took it on the chin. Giants did not look very good yesterday at all.
No, they didn't. Finally got out to a 7-3 lead. I was like, all right, maybe we're turning the corner. And we turned right back around.
Tough start for, hey, listen, there's 32 teams, 16 of us lost. Well, actually, we'll find out what happens tonight.
It's week one.
I know, but the truth of the matter is, like, if you do some digging, and it goes back to, like, 2013, I kind of stopped, where there's a bit of a fallacy, like, well, week one doesn't really matter.
It does matter.
Like, based on percentage rate of playoff appearances,
yes.
Like, the week one winner... Or week one winners usually, put it this way, the teams that make the playoffs, like 82% of the teams last year and the year before won week one. That's not like it's, you lose week one, doesn't matter. Yeah. It kind of matters a little bit.
It definitely matters, but there is rebounding from week one losses.
That is true. All right, we're ready for a little inbounds out of bounds?
That's all I'm saying. Yes,
no, I'm not disagreeing with that, for sure. Inbounds out of bounds, here we go.
Anything can happen in sports and often does. What's right? What's wrong? And who's just crazy? We decide. Inbounds and out of bounds now. With Tiki and Tierney.
The Broncos were the front runners to land Aaron Rodgers. He might be the backup to Teddy. Rodgers may have been benched if he was with the Broncos, the way Teddy Bridgewater played. If Teddy was still on the team and they had Rodgers, Teddy might be number one on the depth chart. They turned to Teddy after they didn't get Rodgers. That fell through. Yesterday, Teddy rewarded Denver for sticking with him, completing almost 80% of his passes for 264, two touchdowns. They beat the Giants 27-13. The former first-round pick escaped pressure multiple times, showed a little wiggle, even threw some stiff arms at defenders before making some big throws. In or out, we are more convinced today that Teddy can be the Broncos' long-term answer at quarterback.
Well, I mean, you know my philosophy on long-term answers or winning Super Bowl quality teams and how they're constructed. If your quarterback is not going to be elite and potentially a Hall of Famer, or at least play like a Hall of Famer for the seasons, this time frame, say it's 4 years, if he's not going to play like a Hall of Famer, then he's not your answer. unless you have an elite top five, really top two, and maybe even generational defense. Mm-hmm. Now, can the Broncos muster that? Maybe. Von Miller actually looked reinvigorated.
Yes.
Now, I don't know how long that lasts. He is going to be 33 years old. He's got a contract. He's got to work out. So could they be that, team with a just good enough offense but an elite defense? Maybe. So I'm going to say undetermined. So I'd say out of bounds.
I don't think he's that guy. He's certainly an upgrade from Drew. Listen, I think if Drew's quarterback, and they probably don't win this game, there's stability there. There's a sense of knowing and seeing and identifying what's in front of him. That's a real level of comfort for Vic Fangio. But if they want to do anything, and I know that this is obviously going to be fluid because there's some teams now who will be bad this year. In like 2 years, they might have prolific offenses. You never know. But Kansas City, to beat Kansas City, to beat Cleveland, even the Bills, who did not play well on offense, you're going to have to score 30 points. You're just going to have to do it.
No, you're going to score 40 points.
And maybe 40. I'm saying, but under the assumption you've got a terrific defense.
Yes.
That's why I kind of dropped it a little bit there. But generally, no, I'm with you. If your defense is average, you better score 40. I picked the Broncos to be a pretty good team this year. I liked them. We've talked about them. I picked them, one of the few I got right. I had an awful weekend with my sharp picks. But I did pick the the Denver Broncos to win and cover this game. So I'm not surprised they won, but to be the long-term answer at quarterback is five steps ahead of beating an average or slightly below average team, the Giants team, until proven otherwise. Out of bounds. I don't see him as that guy.
Are you in or are you out?
Take USC and Texas, two of the most storied programs in college football history, and before this weekend, both were ranked in the top 15. However, that is going to change. The Longhorns were crushed by 19 points to Arkansas, while the Trojans got thumped by Stanford by double digits as well. Neither team's been part of the national title conversation since the Longhorns lost the BCS title game in 09. And it's been a while here. We do believe Texas will return to national prominence before USC.
I'm going to say out of bounds. And the reason I say that is because of quarterback play. And in college football, just like in the NFL, so much of it depends on the dynamic nature of your quarterback. And Hudson Card and Casey Thompson, both of whom played for Texas this weekend, they were okay, but they weren't elite. And I think that USC has a better chance of landing. Caden Slovis is their quarterback. He's supposed to be this top-end guy. But I think that USC has a better chance of landing and having a quarterback who's going to be elite. So I'm going to say out of bounds.
Yeah, I'm not so sure about that. I think with Sark, I think that's going to be a magnet for a kid. You know,
unless they go 5-6.
I hear you. That would be a deterrent. That could obviously happen. It's a tough one. I'm going to say inbounds. They better get their act together soon, because once they jump into the SEC, if they're not fully stocked and loaded, then you're going to have a couple of 5-win seasons perhaps, and then you know, you lose the energy behind the move and then the lackluster recruiting like they had at the end of the Mac Brown era, and then you go nowhere. I think what complicates possibly USC's path is UCLA.
Yes.
Like, what if UCLA is at the beginning of this upward trajectory and Chip steals a couple of recruits and...
Feels like it's heading that
way.
It
might be. So I'm going to say inbounds. I don't know if I'd put a ton of money behind this. I could have probably convinced myself to go the other way. But I'll say short term, I'm going to still say Texas inbounds.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, Teague. As we know, an emotional weekend here in New York, everywhere with 9/11, of course. But the Yankees and the Mets, as they remember the heroes of the FDNY and the NYPD, of course, and the 20th anniversary of 9/11. Now, on the diamond, the drama continued. The Yankees scoring 3 runs in the 8th for a comeback win on Saturday, and Francisco Lindor launching 3 home runs, including the game winner in the 8th on Sunday. Lindor has been here in the booze all year. He had a big moment. In or out, we have more faith in the Mets core players long term over the Yankees stable of stars.
I'm going to say out of bounds. I have more faith in the Mets pitching, but I don't know if I have more faith in the Mets core players.
Yep.
Gleyber Torres is moving from shortstop back to second base.
Yeah. Next move is out of New York, by the way.
Yeah, but it is. I wouldn't mind that.
Gary Sanchez, you can move with him.
Exactly.
Oh, he is so lazy behind the dish. He drives me nuts.
Higoshiaka is
great. He's like a sloth behind the dish.
Yes.
He moves so slow.
Yeah.
Everything about Gary Sanchez is laborious.
I agree.
Nothing is easy with that guy.
By the way, the play that Higoshiaka made in, I forget what inning it was, 7th or 8th, maybe, I think it was the 8th inning, pass ball. They needed the out. I think it was the 9th. No, it was the 9th inning. And they needed the out because Chapman threw a off-speed pitch. And it hit a foot before the plate.
Yep.
He clipped it. It went behind him. He found it and threw out the runner at first, which kept it. He put it to 2 outs as opposed to 1 and saved the game for him, basically.
This is a wild game. Saturday was wild.
Gary Sanchez does – first of all, that ball goes to the backstop, and another run probably comes.
Forget
in.
About Gary; he's going to be gone soon.
But I'm going to say inbounds. I think the Yankees do have a better core player, simply because if these guys get hot, like Aaron Judge when he crushed that home run, 2-run home run to ultimately put up the winning runs, they can do that more consistently. If they can do it more consistently, they'll be fine.
Yankees are in trouble. Let's not blow the lead here. Yankees, last I checked before, they were losing again today. They were losing. They were down 5-0. And then I think they tacked on a couple of cards. I'll check as soon as we go to break. Let me know what the score of the Yankees. They were losing 5-2 last I checked.
5-1.
So Yankees are in trouble. But the core, like I look at the word core and I say, all right, guys were going to be on the team for a while.
Yes.
So, like, Baez is not going to be on the Mets. He's gone. All right? He's going to be on the – he's gone. I think Conforto could be gone at some point. Like, Lindor's a core. Aaron Judge is a core. Rizzo could be gone. They could trade Stanton if they eat some money. I mean, Gardner's going to retire. Sanchez will be gone. There's not a lot of guys who are core.
That's right.
Outside of really Judge, Lindor, DeGrom, and obviously Gerrit Cole. Even Marcus Stroman signed a 1-year deal. It's like, so there's going to be a lot of volatility there from their roster. I'll say inbounds, not with great faith, but only because Aaron Judge is better than Lindor. That's the only reason. Like, that's the only reason. So inbounds, I guess.
Tune in next time for another edition of Inbounds or Out of Bounds with Tiki and Tierney.
And Lindor's hitting 227 right
now. And he's
now.
Actually hot.
I know.
I mean, he was hitting 212 all season.
He's only got 52.
Lindor.
What is there, 20 games left? A little less than 20?
Just about. Maybe less than that at this point.
He's got 52 RBIs.
Remember, he strained his oblique. He missed about 5-6 weeks, though.
Still.
But he was playing horribly. Even in the field, he's been very... Yeah. He has not been the dynamic player that they thought they got from the Indians.
Yeah.
I've always been a huge Lindor fan.
I mean, Samter asked this question because he wanted the Mets to be the answer. Who do you think on the Mets is the core player?
What do you mean?
No, I'm a Yankee fan, but I'm just concerned. I watch the Yankees and I see other teams like this around the league, but not as many like the Yankees that are so reliant on the home run. And listen, I love Judge and Stanton has his moments, but they're so streaky. You can never really rely on them, and especially when it comes to the postseason, when you have this hardcore pitching, I can't really rely on them to actually get the hits when they need to. The Mets, now you're right, Baez is probably not long-term, but if they can keep Baez and Lindor...
But they're not going to keep Baez. He's gone. Mm-hmm. And they're not going to re-sign Baez.
Right,
no chance.
But if Lindor... Oh, by the way, oh my goodness.
What do we got? Yankees do something?
Aaron Judge, 3-run game-tying home run
Judge.
In the bottom of the eighth. As
get
I'm talking
up.
About streaky, that get ball up. Goes out opposite field.
By the way,
Judge.
All right.
That's crazy.
No, that's not streaky. That's clutch.
And by the way, Aaron Judge is hitting 290 this year with an OPS of 910.
He's the guy.
He's been a little cold lately.
Rest, it's just all it's home run or bust.
All right, Santa. Just win the game now, please. What it is? Ninth inning? Eighth inning. Were there two outs when he went yard? My boy Judge. He is good, man. They got it. They got a lot of dead weight on that team. He ain't dead weight. Nice, Aaron. That a boy. All right. The Cardinals had a little something to prove coming into the season. If week one is a foreshadow, Cardinals going to have a hell of a season. Next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.